Good morning, and thank you for joining me on another episode of the Roundtable Talk Show. I am your host, Sharifa Hardy, and I'm so excited that you are joining me here this Monday. Some call it Motivation Monday. I don't know. What I know is that I'm just excited to be here and that all of you have decided to join me. I'm going to go ahead and introduce our first guest, but before I do that, I'm going to ask you to do what I always ask you to do, and that is to go ahead and be an evangelist for the Roundtable Talk Show. Get out there and let the world know that the show is live. So if that's taking you, waking your roommate, calling grandpa, letting your son know, your friends know, tweeting, texting, sharing on Facebook, on social media that we're live, go ahead and do that, because friends don't let friends miss out on the Roundtable Talk Show. And it is Monday. Speaking of which, we know what happens on Monday. We have a very special guest who joins us every Monday. You'll see her here. And one of the things that I just love, 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 love about this guest is that she is never boring, never boring. She doesn't come to us with the same product, the same service every Monday. Each and every Monday, she has something new to present. And I'm excited to find out what she's going to share with us today. Miss Allison Allman, the organization maven. Good morning, Allison. How are you today?
Good morning, Miss Sharifa. Good morning, my followers, my friends. I'm so glad to be here. It's Monday.
Yes, it is. I'm excited to speak with you because I saw your post on social media and I was like, Allison is doing something else new. I want to hear all about it. So typically we talk about you organizing home. Then we talked about how you utilize SEO and changing your keywords to get more search engine traffic. Then we talk about how you started organizing garages. Then we talk about how you have assisted people when they're trying, when they maybe need an intervention. And if anybody missed all of this, you got to watch like the last few Mondays that Allison shares. And then we talked about how you helped with the she caves. And now you're up to something new.
So yes, this has been going on for a long time, kind of behind the scenes, where other people that are women that are in small businesses of direct sales. So that's your Avon lady, that's your Pampered Chef lady, that's your whatever else is out there, candles, beef jerky, chocolate. There's just a wide variety of products in the direct sales world, and they come to me needing help. They, you know, they don't have any clients. They share. They overshare to their family, and they can't seem to get anywhere. They can't get any traction. Nothing snowballs into anything. And so I just, you know, kind of take them under my wing and give them some tips and have them try a few different things and then just come back and just, you know, report back to me. And so usually once I take them under my wing and I give them a, you know, some few tips and ideas and so forth, then they have a phenomenal month. And then I'm like, great, pay me. And they're like, oh, I don't have any money because I'm in direct sales and I got to invest in all my stuff back into my company, or I got to pay this bill or whatever. And I'm like, oh, okay, awesome. Okay, let's try again next month. I'll give you some more challenges and so forth. And again, no payment. So then I get kind of frazzled a little bit because I feel taken advantage of. And then I, you know, tell them, okay, well, I've given you a great foundation. Good luck. And so then, you know, that's kind of how that goes. And then they promote up and they get into management and all this different stuff. And then they start sending me their downline. And it's like, Allison's awesome. She's going to help you get started, all this kind of stuff. And no one wants to pay me. So then I kind of fazzle out and I stop talking about it. And so, so in the past couple of months during COVID, you know, we've all joined Zoom and we've all been struggling, and then, you know, and then snowballs are starting to get rolling again. And so I just kind of thought to myself, why don't we just launch like a direct sales business consultation business? And that sounds very long and complicated. And so, and so I just kind of made up a price sheet, so to speak, and just thought, and so then I went on a 6-week hiking challenge with a local a business coach that helps you find your trail and your purpose. And so it's here in Orange County, and she walks you around on different trails in Orange County, and she gave us different topics to work on each week. And then when we actually did the hiking, we kind of shared our answers, and it was a small and close-knit, and it was a safe environment where nothing was shared outside of our group, and we had a private Facebook group where we kind of talked about stuff too. And so one of the things that I kind of took to our little group was, what do I call myself? I don't want to lose the organization maven. I've worked on this brand. I have all this stuff associated to it. I want to start doing social media for these new business consultants, but I don't know what to call myself. And so the last week was last Wednesday, and someone said, why don't you call yourself the digital maven? And I go, okay. So then I Google the digital maven, and there's like a million digital mavens, and I'm like, okay, this is going to be a problem because someone's going to type in and get someone else and everything. So then I Googled the social media maven, and it actually popped up with all these Wikipedia answers and so forth. And so as I was reading through the descriptions, I'm like, that's me. So then I quickly popped onto Facebook and made the social media maven. And then I popped onto Instagram and made the social media maven. And then, you know, typed in my price list and then announced it and did my bio and just did all the stuff that I always have taught all of my people what to do when they get onto social media. And I just went ahead and did it. And then you saw the announcement over the weekend. And so that's it. That's what I'm doing.
I think that's exciting. So when you start a new brand, how do you integrate both brands, or do you just operate them completely separate?
So I have chosen to make this completely separate, where I'm doing the business coaching and the social media posts for my clients as a separate entity, something that I can do on my 2 days off of Tuesday and Wednesday, when I usually do consultations and tie up loose ends and just go on errands, like, you know, go grocery shopping. Kind of, I've chosen for those to be the 2 days that I work. During the hiking experience that I went through, I realized that I need kind of a plan B. I mean, COVID, we all needed a plan B. Now I'm up and running and C is doing awesome. Like, C is running along, doing a great job as plan C. But then I realized I never really made a plan B through COVID. And so I need some other kind of online venue of income. And I just didn't want to do what I've done before. So that's why it's plan D now. So that's kind of how that went. So yeah, so I just launched it to be online and to do consultations and weekly check-ins, so to speak, and give new challenges and help specifically small business direct sales women that are stuck. Maybe they're not getting enough training from their upline. Maybe they, maybe they don't like their upline. Maybe their upline's in another state. And they just don't feel connected. So this has been a niche that I've been holding on to for a long time. And like I said, I just had no idea what to call myself.
Wow. Well, I definitely want to come back to you, Alice. And that's interesting when we take a new step in our careers. I want to introduce our next guest, Anika McMahon. I got Anika. And then I'm like, I stumbled on McMahon, right? But she's a career strategist, and she helps people, kind of like what Allison was talking about, especially in COVID. People don't know what to do, where to go, what's my next step, what's my next, you know, like they say, you live a million lifetimes within one lifetime. I've had a million different careers, but people don't know what they do. So Anika is one of the people who helps people, and we're also going to talk about her being a co-founder of Path to Promotion. Good morning. How are you?
Good morning. How are you? It's 8 o'clock for you, but it's 1 a.m. for me out here in Australia. So it's I'm actually in Tuesday and it's dark outside.
Well, it's 1 a.m. So if you fall asleep in the middle of this broadcast, I won't take it personal. I won't cry and be like, she thought I was just so boring.
No, it's lovely to be here. Thank you for having me today.
Of course. I'm honored. And especially calling in at 1 a.m. I always appreciate the little things. But can you relate to some of the things that Allison was saying as far as people wanting to reinvent themselves during this time frame?
Yeah, absolutely. So we launched the Path to Promotion in 2019, and that's off the back of myself personally, a 20-year career in executive recruitment. So I'm one of the leading recruiters in Australia, placing CEOs and board members across the country for both the top ASX listed organizations as well as private organizations. Mm-hmm. And I partnered with my business partner, Amber Renee, who is truly the a woman of reinvention. She did mm-hmm. civil engineering and her first career was building roads and bridges. Mm-hmm. She was far too fabulous for that. So then she launched a fashion line, which was internationally famous, including in America. She was dressing, you know, Paris Hilton back when, you know, 2003, when Paris Hilton was at the height of her fame. Mm-hmm. And then she parlayed that into a career as a celebrity stylist. And now she's one of the, one of the world's leading e-learning specialists. So she's got a number of courses at the moment across, you know, a whole range of topics from how to be a stylist to personal branding, how to influence with impact. I should also mention she was the Australian presenter for a fashion TV for a number of years. Wow. So she's also this just now, she's on a television show in America on FYI called Dream Life. And so she and her business partner, Serena, are running around interviewing a whole lot of celebrities like Caitlyn Jenner and Corey Feldman and those types of people. So she's had a very, you know, literally like maybe six different careers in her lifetime, and she's the same age as me. So our marriage is perfect in terms of from a business perspective, because we can combine my 20 years of senior executive recruitment and understanding what people look for when they're deciding who to promote, who to employ, who to, you know, push forward in terms of career, as well as, you know, Amber's expertise in terms of how to present and how to speak well and all of those types of things. So the Path to Promotion launched in at the end of 2019 to fantastic success. It's grown unbelievably quickly all across Australia, and we now are selling into the US as well. So we've got a number of US students currently going through some of our courses. So our signature course is called Success Accelerator, and that's really about teaching people how to get ahead in their careers.
Oh, that's what I want to hear a little bit about. I'm sure our audience is interested as well. I want to say good morning to Jade Elizabeth, who just joined us in the chat. People are joining us. Definitely thank you for your support. But how do you get ahead in your career? Because one of the things that's interesting is you announced it or launched it in 2019. And there's a joke now that says, what is one of the most unnecessary things to have in 2020? And that's a day planner. Like, you know what I mean? Like, nobody knows what's happening these days. So 2019, you had to have this ideal vision for your company. Bam, we're smack in the middle of 2020. That has to look completely different.
It does and it doesn't. I mean, one of the things that was really interesting for us was in September 2019, when we were launching it, there was a little bit of pushback from, you know, because our Success Accelerator program in particular, it's sort of video, video workbook and modules. And then it also comes with coaching sessions, which was in Zoom. And so we were, you know, starting to talk to clients about it, and they're like, what's Zoom? What do you mean? You have virtual meetings? What? You know, and now it's, you know, this is the norm. The new norm is Zoom is normal. Microsoft Teams is normal. Doing coaching sessions online is normal. And so really it was actually perfect timing for us in terms of the launch of our business, because here we are pitching this fantastic online option of where you can study from home and get access to, you know, myself and Amber in an online forum. And that's exactly what people have been looking for through this pandemic is, I actually don't know what I'm doing with my career. And I feel, you know, I might feel, you know, unsettled in terms of, you know, is my job safe and how can I be adding more value and all of those types of things. So our product has really kind of hit the market at a perfect time when people do feel anxious and a level of anxiety and are not quite sure what they want to do with their careers. And they've got this fantastic option now where they can study at home from two of the world's leading experts in career strategy and also personal branding, and use it to propel their careers forward.
And they can do it from online, from the comfort of their home. And I completely agree with you. I tell people I was ambitious when I decided to launch a talk show with 5 guests per day. You know, if it had not been for COVID-19, I don't think I would have never had 5 guests per day, 25 people a week who come to Zoom link, because totally like what you said, people were like, Zoom, What's Zoom? I don't know how to do Zoom. Zoom was this big, confusing monster, the elephant in the room that no one knew how to do. And then all of a sudden, everyone's like, I'm on Zoom. So it like you said, it's sometimes things are just the perfect storm. Now, I want to come back to you. I want to introduce my next guest because we were talking pre-show, and this never happens to me, but she was explaining so much of what she does. I was like, okay, we have to wait till the show starts because I have so many questions, so many questions. I want to introduce Lisa Young, who was trying to explain to me about creatives and fusion and creative fusion and how some people are more this way and some people, I'm like, okay, too much right now. Lisa, good morning. How are you?
Good morning. I'm well, and I'm excited to be here.
I'm excited to have you. This is the opportunity. Okay, so let's go back over this again because I tell people I wasn't that A-plus student in any of my experiences. So I'm trying to understand, first of all, how did you begin focusing on creativity and the way people start? And then explain to us a little bit more on how that works.
So actually, as Allison was telling her story about how she was starting to work with direct sellers, I was right there with her because I've been an online entrepreneur for about 25 years, a little more than 25 years. And when I started as a direct seller and I started building an online presence and other direct sellers were coming to me saying, how do I do this internet thing? And from there, I developed my coaching practice and I was working with a wide variety of direct sellers across the spectrum. And then other entrepreneurs started showing up and they had completely different businesses and completely different markets, but they were all coming because of the training and the things that I was teaching. Well, I got to a point a few years ago where I had such a variety of people that I couldn't understand. I couldn't market myself because I couldn't understand what it was that was bringing them to me and what these people all had in common because they were in so many different markets. And so I sorted all these people out. I literally got sticky notes and put them all over the wall, sorting them by the tasks that we worked on together, the kinds of things, the goals that they had, all of these things, and then started sorting these piles. And eventually I came down to two piles of people and then this handful of stragglers. I'm like, well, where do these guys go? Because I'm in this handful of stragglers. And so there was this pile of what I call chaotic creatives. And these are people who tend to go with the flow, very stream of consciousness. They trust their gut. That's how they do their problem solving. And then there was this other pile of what I call linear creatives. They have systems and processes and they rely on rules and structure and that's how they win the day. But then there's this handful of stragglers. I was like, I could kind of go in either pile and don't really want to be in either one and I don't understand. And so as I looked at the whole stack of people one more time, I was like, it's not two camps, it's a spectrum. Mm-hmm. And that's when I developed the creative freedom entrepreneur type spectrum to help you identify how you best show up to do business. Mm-hmm. And so when people lean into the kind of person that they are and really own that more fully, that's when they start to experience success. And time after time, I have seen people who check all the boxes that we as the general public say that's what it takes to be a success. And they weren't feeling successful. They weren't having the experience of being successful. And when I looked at what was going on, and this is what's going to be coming out in my new book, is they were checking boxes, but they weren't leaning into what's true for them and how they're best wired to do their work. And as soon as they flipped that switch and started saying no to the things that the rest of the world may have said, well, this is what it means to be a success. And they said, but this is how I define success. And this is what works for me. As soon as they flipped the switch and stepped into that, they had the experience of success. They were doing the things that they loved. People were gravitating towards them. And I mean, seven figures, eight figures more, because they were in alignment with what was really important to them. And they were just tuning out the people who were like, that's crazy. That doesn't make any sense. Who would do that? Well, I will, because it's what works for me. So that's how it was all born.
No, I think that's wonderful. And is there a test that a person can take to figure out which one they, I know it has to be, because without your test, I can assume that I'm the chaotic creative. I don't even think I'm a straggler in the middle. Like people have told me like, Sharifa, if your world is not like all over the place, you're not doing all these creative things, or if it's too quiet, if it's too boring, I'm like Allison, like, I gotta create something else. So I'm like, I can see myself more as chaotic. I'm definitely not linear at all. It's funny because I went to college to be an accountant, and people don't like, but after a while, I was just like, okay, can't you round these numbers up? Like, okay, it's about $2,000 in the bank. Like, right. You know what I mean? Like, round that stuff up and keep it moving. Like, I don't have time. So what, I mean, I know I haven't taken the test, but if you were just kind of guess, what would you guess that I was?
I would probably lean towards a chaotic or a chaotic cusp type, mm-hmm. because as you mentioned, you like to be doing a lot of things. But the thing that got me was I don't even want to deal with systems. If you eschew mm-hmm. schedules, if you're like, I don't want a schedule, don't pen me in, systems and processes are a prison, then you're on the chaotic side of the spectrum.
You got me.
Right?
You got me with the schedules, because people always, you know, because first of all, I'm going to tell y'all this live 101. I tell people all the time, they always call me and they all start off with, Sharifa, I know you're busy. I won't take up too much of your time. And I'm like,
you just did.
You know, but that's what I'm here for, because I don't like schedules. Like, scheduling to me is like the death of me. I don't want a schedule. Don't ask me when I have time available on my calendar, because I don't like, what happens is, like, if I have an appointment with Jonathan and I are going to talk, and then all of a sudden Adrian's like, oh, let's talk, and then we start talking and I miss Jonathan's appointment, I'm going to feel bad, you know, I'm gonna be like, oh my God, now Jonathan's going to think he's not important. And so I just would rather tell people, call me, if I answer you, that means I'm available. If you get the voicemail, that means that I wasn't, like,
and don't take it personally, right?
Yeah.
Oh, that just means hang up and start texting you.
That's what I'm saying. I know we gonna come back to you, Lisa, because I'm gonna find out where everybody is. We gonna play a new game. I don't even know if you have this game, but I'm about to invent a game called Guess the Creative. Okay, but I want to go ahead because I get to talk it and then I run out of time. But I want to introduce our next guest, and I wanted her to share her story. And her nickname is Fierce. She is Fierce. But when you hear her story, you're going to be blown away, because some people said this young lady was not even supposed to be here. She defied all odds to be with us here today. She had a brain aneurysm where people said she was not going to make it. She was not going to survive. And guess August 24th, 2020, this young lady is here with us today. Miss Fierce, Adrienne Mason. Good morning, Adrienne. How are you?
Good morning. I am fantastic and so glad to be here and glad to hear all of you. And Lisa, I love it. I am so glad to hear it's a real thing to be able to operate in chaos. So I'm glad to hear that.
Yeah.
Do you operate in chaos, Adrienne?
Oh my. Anybody else operate like this? So creative, where your spirit just creates so many. I operate in spirit pretty much all the time. And so spirit is a creative, you know what I mean? We're just the hands. We're the hands of spirit. And I'm so glad to hear what Lisa said. And so that was just so encouraging to me. Thank you, Lisa. I really appreciate you and your business and your story. Thank you. But Sharif, yes, the surgeon could not believe that I'm still here. Everything that I went through. Here, and the network started because trying to help other individuals to step into their authentic self and be who they are and not be afraid to just be who they are. Because when you be authentic and step into who you are, you become alive, energetic, and you just begin to grow and you step into your success. And so being a person that had to start all over again, I understand what it's like to start all over. I had to learn how to walk again. I had to learn how to use a computer again. I had to learn how to type again. I went from being a whiz kid, a dean's list student in college, and had to start all over again. Can you imagine what that feels like?
No, I can't imagine at all. But I'm going to allow you to go on. But one of the things that interests me when you were talking about Lisa and you said the spirit, And I wanted to mention that because that's, to me, it's not only chaos, but just being able to go where spirit says go. I tell people, I'm like that song, you know what I mean? I go where the spirit says go. I walk, you know what I mean, wherever it happens. So there is a path. Now, when you were going through your journey, were you, because I always watch these movies, right? And I watch way too much television, just so y'all know. But like the doctor will say, you will never walk again. And that person says, you know, I'm going to walk. But they have this assurance and they have this confidence that they are not going to be what the doctor says that they are. And I always wonder, how do they know? How do you get that confidence? How do you get that assurance that the doctor is wrong?
You know what? I was so determined and I just would not give up. I just could not stop. When they told me, you know, that I couldn't, I had to give up everything. They told me, you can't go back to your home. You cannot live alone. This is what they were telling me I could not do. I couldn't live alone. I could not do all these things for myself. And so I went through, you know, the necessary process as far as rehab and learning how to do those things all over again. I was just determined. And when I was in that bed, the hospital bed, I'm telling you, spirit spoke to me continuously. And I mean, after I left that hospital, I was just so determined and I was not going to give up. I was going to finish my degree. Because I was in the middle of going through college, I was studying journalism, and I was determined I was going to complete my degree, and I did. I completed my degree, and I went further and got my master's. And so those are things that they didn't think that I was going to be able to do, but I did them.
Mm-hmm. And now you're working with other people to be able to help them to achieve their goals. What made you? Because sometimes we get to a point of, okay, I've done enough. You know, I've overcome this obstacle, but where do you, or how did you get to a point where you said, let me help other people and then go out and start your network?
You know, Sharif, to be honest with you, I've always helped other people, even as a teen. I've always went back to help other people, even those who didn't have the homeless. I have a heart for the homeless. I always put together care packages and would go out and give out care packages to those that was homeless, giving them socks, soap, and all the hygiene necessity things, put them in a package and just give it away. And I always counsel others as far as, you know, I want to talk about, I'm a very empathic person. Presence, I pick up on their energy and I read their energy. And it's just so amazing I'm able to feel, I don't mean to go into different directions, but I just got
that's what we do here. That's what I tell people all the time about, because people always try to define the round table talk show and they're like, Sharifa, what are we going to talk about? I don't know, wherever the spirit goes, wherever we're led, whatever comes up in the conversation. So you go right ahead, ma'am.
So this is what's next. I've been bubbling on the inside, trying to decide how to present this particular gift that I use all the time. Even when I'm working, when someone comes in my presence, I feel their energy right away. And people just wonder, well, how can this be? And it just falls out of my mouth moment at that particular time. And I've been thinking about doing it on a Facebook Live and just give out to individuals, just pour out of my spirit into them and to help them to get to the next step in their path, in their journey, so that they can reinvent their business, reinvent their lives, and to get up and to go again, because this is what I hear every day, all day. What can I do? What do I do next? And sometimes you're bound by contracts and I can't say particular things when I'm working with a particular client. And so I'm like, what do I do to release this and let this out and tell individuals, this is where you can go to get resources. This is how you reinvent yourself. And so I'm just bubbling on the inside, want to let all of this out and to just even help more individuals on a totally different scale.
Well, I'm gonna solve that for you, because this is what we're gonna do. We're gonna schedule you an appointment with Allison Almond, right? And then she's gonna help you bubble. That's what she's the bubbler. We just named her new company. She is the bubbler, okay? So if it's bubbling in there, she's gonna help you get it and allow it to bubble. I would come back with you. How's that, Allison? Am I booking?
You're doing great.
Okay, thank you. I want to go ahead and introduce our next guest. He has been so patient, just letting us all the little ladies talk and speak. So I was interested in having Mr. Jonathan Grasso on the show because he is interested in making this world a better place. And he has done something that I've never heard of before. And I love interesting guests. I get bored with the same old. But Jonathan, his focus is on sustainable of a sustainable branch of Toys, Axel and Friends. Good morning, Jonathan. How are you?
I'm doing well. Good morning. How's it going?
It's wonderful. I love your chair. I was saying that backstage, but I was like, it just looks like, you know how when you're like in the Caribbean or something, they always have these swings that you just can kind of hang out and chill in. And that just looks so comfortable.
I also have a footrest so I could just kick back. And I just had like a pina colada over here.
But, thank you for rubbing it in, Jonathan. Like
I definitely don't have one, but I wish I did now. Although it's like 11 a.m. for me, so.
Hey, it's always a good time for a pina colada.
So before I go into anything, I just want to say it's great to hear all of your stories and backgrounds. It's also really, like I resonate a lot with this, with the spectrum you created, of like creative chaos to linear creativity. I would definitely say I'm on that chaotic side. I don't always want to be, but certainly end up there. But it's also great to hear about like working within different fields and reinventing yourself time and time again. I think I'm still kind of just out of school. And I feel you get this pressure to pick something and be that forever, you know, like I'm going to be a firefighter or a doctor and that's it. And you sort of close yourself off to opportunities that could arise to do more or to kind of be more involved in the world and the communities that you land in. So it's really motivating and inspiring to hear your stories.
Well, thank you. We definitely want to hear your stories. But I think what's interesting is that, you know, people before used to live a lot shorter lifetime. You know, they get to be 30 or maybe 35 and like that's their life. You know, now when people are 100 and, you know, I have one of my dearest friends, I love talking to her all the time. She'll be 99 this year. And she always calls me and she's like, Sharifa, I'm just so lazy. I used to clean my kitchen 3 times a week. Now I only do it a couple of times a week. I'm like, I'm 44. I only clean my kitchen once a week. You know what I mean? But it's like, we live so yeah, you might be a firefighter. Then next year you might decide you want to be a doctor, but we have so, you know, we don't stay the same. So I love the change. I love the ability to change our minds and find different careers. How many different careers have you like envisioned for yourself?
Well, so I worked a bit in social work. I did a master's in social work and then began working in after school programs. Mm-hmm. And then I ended up going to law school. And then after law school, I somehow landed here with Oxl and Friends. So it's sort of, you know, just the type of thing where you remain open to what could happen. And I had worked previously with some startup companies as a legal intern. Mm-hmm. And I'd always had a fondness for art as a kid, drawing, illustrating, stuff like that. And creating, but I didn't really think it would come into my career. But sort of as time, like as I got to the end of law school and studying for the bar, I just found this path that kind of opened up where it was like, you should do this. You should try it. I'd always thought about being an entrepreneur, but I thought you do that when you're older and you have a savings account and all this other stuff, which there it's certainly
that's
you have
a great idea to but, have a savings account so that if it fails you don't lose a lot.
Yeah. Like, oh, that's cute. Like I don't even know entrepreneurs who have savings account. I mean, like that usually is more of a calling where life happens and you're like, oh, just like everyone right now during this global pandemic, more entrepreneurs are created during a recession than any other time. It's because they have to use their creativity, their ingenuity, the necessity that drives them in order to make their business successful. So I completely get it. But I want to not go back to Adrian. I want to stay on Jonathan right now. But Adrian, when Adrian mentioned this whole idea of kind of being creative and it bubbling out and reading people, and as I'm listening to Jonathan speak, And I'm kind of judging him a little bit because I couldn't see you as a lawyer, Jonathan. I could see you as a lawyer for like 5 days, right? And I'm judging you kind of based on like, you look kind of comfortable. You don't look like you want to, you know what I mean? Like you're, I don't want to find an offensive word, but you don't look stuck up and serious. You know what I mean? You look like you just want to have fun.
Yeah, I think it's definitely, you know, a lot of what I do is still legal. Running businesses and international transport, like export, import, is still legal. But really what I went into law for was actually the policy and human rights side of things. Mm-hmm. And so I was also able to blend that into this brand I created because the profits from the sale of these stuffed animals, children's books and backpacks goes to building schools and shelters and education programs for children that are in the same regions that the endangered animals that I draw are native to.
Oh, that's beautiful. So what kind of toys do you have? Can we see some toys? You didn't bring us any toys, Jonathan.
Oh, no, I have a lot behind me here. Let's see. So this, I mean, it's my main product. It's a small salamander native to central Mexico. Called the axolotl. And so this is the main product that I produce. And I've been going around to markets in Central Florida and actually in New York City. And then a lot of comic cons and kind of fairs. And it's been interesting with COVID to really, like you said, throw out the day planner for this year, because it's like, everything that I thought would happen has not happened, but in the process, it's sort of opened my, it's opened that path again to even better opportunities. Mm-hmm. So
that's life. That's life. Yeah.
So this is awkward. And then I actually should have brought a photo of a real axolotl. I might have one here, but, so it's about, you know, teaching children important values as well. So writing stories that involve issues of empathy, issues of like addressing your own emotions, and also being more aware of your environment. So like being plugged into a community, being responsible for the environment itself. So like issues of conservation, animal, plant life, et cetera. So it's kind of the idea behind this brand is to really transform business to be more than just making money at any cost, but really to use the strength and the scale that you can have with a business for real impact and change at every level.
Mm-hmm. See, you're so much more than just a lawyer. You would have got confined in some courtroom, you know. At least you got out early. I'm telling you. 50 years from now, you would have been sitting at a bar with your head down going, what happened to my life? So just enjoy it. I want to go over to Lisa real quick. Lisa, it's like, I think we spoke to Jonathan, Adrian, and I don't think Anika. Anika.
Yeah.
Would you consider yourself a chaotic, a linear?
Oh, no, I'm definitely linear. Yeah, I was listening, I was thinking probably myself and Allison will be the only two linears here. In the
Allison's not linear.
Sounds like you
are. Oh, yes, I am.
No, you're not.
Definitely in the chaotic spot. No, my diary is planned to within 30 seconds for the next 5 years. Like, it's, I know what I'm doing.
That's trademark linear right there, trademark linear. But Jonathan and Allison might actually be fusions like me. Mm-hmm. We kind of stand in the middle and we can't stay in one space or the other for too long. We have to have a mix of both, and we have to have it fairly regularly, because otherwise if we spend too much time leaning into intuition and not having a schedule, then the linear side of our brain goes, hey, structure is important. We're getting too out in the weeds. But if we spend too much time in linear land, then it starts to feel like a prison for us. And we're like, I gotta get out of here. I gotta have some kind of freedom. This doesn't feel like freedom to me. So we have to have a balance. One of the things that I like to point to is to use famous examples for the spectrum. when you think of Lady Gaga, she is very chaotic. It's all about the experience and a high level of excellence. And she trusts her gut on the decisions that she makes. Whereas on the linear side, you've got your Bill Gateses and your Warren Buffetts. And then in the middle, you have the band, the Eagles, right? These are four powerhouse artists all by themselves, but only one person sings lead at a time. And so they could all do something different, but they choose to come together. And so for fusions, we tend to be good at a lot of different things. We like to do a lot of different things. It's hard for us to pick one thing, like Jonathan said. And there's still an overarching umbrella that kind of all of our things that we do fall under. So like with Jonathan, I can see where his law and his social work are coming together in this new product offering that he's created, because he's teaching these kids about values. So that's that social work piece, but he's also having to navigate all the import export stuff, which is all of that legal stuff. So it's really interesting to see how everybody kind of fits together today. It's really fun.
It is Sharifa. Sharifa, I didn't buy 1 day planner this year. I didn't buy 2 day planners. I didn't buy three. I actually bought 4 different day planners for this year. And when March 13th came around and all of the safer pandemic craziness happened in our area, I just started crossing out all the stuff. Then about May 3rd, I just tucked all 4 of them in the trash and I was upset because everything went out the window and I was like, okay, new plan. Get rid of these things. But I love calendars. Calendars are my timekeepers. I have if my daughter would let me, I would have one in every room. Like every room that's my room, I have a calendar in there. And I look at it in the morning and I plan my day and I have an agenda. And when I go on vacation, I plan the vacation, which would hate, my ex-husband hated that. He's like, we're on vacation, we sleep in. And I go, no, we get up at 6 a.m. and we explore the where we are. Because I'm thinking about when I come back into town, people are going to go, what do you do on your vacation? And I go, I went out to this, walked on a waterfall, and I checked out this food place, and I went and checked out this, and went and checked out that. I don't want to say I slept the whole week. I can stay at home for free and sleep. Why would I pay to go on vacation and use up all this money and everything and to not experience anything in the town? And I hated going into group tours. I always would just find a taxi or a local person and let them, you know, tell me the best place to eat, even if it was a little shady or a hole in a wall, or you know, I shouldn't go by myself. And I travel all the time by myself, so I'm like, okay, here, you come with me. Now I'm not by myself.
Thank you for sharing that, Allison. Now I'll make a mental note. I'm not traveling with you ever. Right. So don't invite me. I'm not going. Because you remind me of my mom. My mom is the exact same way. And that's why we don't travel together, because she schedules every minute. Okay, now we're going to the spa. Now we're going to get our nails done. Now we're going to the show. Now we're going to go to dinner. And then this is at 7 o'clock. I'm like, mom, like, dude, like, I came for margaritas. That's why Jonathan had me at the pina coladas. I'm like, really? Like, where are you, Jonathan? 11 o'clock. Pina coladas, but that's all I want to do. She's like, you can't, just like Allison, you can't just lay here all day. Yes, I can, because when I'm at home, that's what I don't do. And it's kind of like Lisa was saying, maybe I am a fusion, because the Roundtable Talk Show airs weekdays at 8 a.m. That's what keeps me sane. You know what I mean? It's like, I have to be at work the next day. I have to be up to get ready to be at the show at 7:45. So, you know, that's my schedule. Weekdays, I'm off. People don't understand. It takes a lot of energy to produce and to find the guests. So that maybe, am I a fusion? Maybe. No.
I'll put you more towards chaotic cuss, but you can take the quiz on my website and find out. So it's,
I'm going to take the quiz.
Yeah, find out. Find out, yeah.
Pardon? Then I'm going to post it. No, I said, who's going to take the quiz with me?
Yeah.
Oh, definitely.
Woo.
See, Allison?
Jonathan, can I just say I absolutely love your business. I think it's amazing. It's just so great what you're doing.
Thank you so much.
I know.
Also, Allison, I actually would love to travel with you then, because I'm the type that wants to do everything, but doesn't actually make that schedule. If I had someone who did, and I could go along and just sort of deviate a bit here and there for some side tour or something, that would be great.
I give you permission to join the group tour with grandma and the, you know, the camera around their necks and the fanny packs, and they They take pictures of 100 different things that they're never going to look at again. Because when I go and purge their house, I'm like, oh, or why aren't these in albums? So you can look at them later. Mm-hmm. Oh, I'll do it later. Later's here. I'm here now. Let's put it in the book. Then you can talk about your trip to Africa, all your trip to Hawaii, your trip to whatever, because now you got to share it. No one's going to know that you went on this vacation if there's the original, you know, envelope.
See, what I do is I check in. So I check in. I've checked in Hawaii. You guys know I was here. That's the only pictures you're going to see because I'm not taking pictures. I'm laying by the beach with the margarita. See? So there's a pattern. But before we go lay on the beach and chill and take all these vacations, can we first find us a job? Anika, how do we find jobs? That's what the people want to know. They tuning in, they asking a question, you know, what are careers like these days? Is there hope for the people?
Yeah, absolutely. There's certainly industries that will always flourish and do well out of crisis. You know, having been in recruitment for 2 decades, I started in 2001 in executive recruitment in Australia, and unemployment was 9% in Australia at that time. It's not even at that level now in the pandemic. Then in the GFC, through the global financial crisis in Australia, again, I'm speaking about Australia because that's where I'm from, the three biggest hit industries were property, banking, and recruitment. And I was a recruiter who mostly specialized in property. So I had a double whammy. And it was just, you know, redundancy central. People were losing their jobs left, right, and center. The people who, you know, but then every time we have a crisis, we have any type of sort of world scenario, there's heaps of opportunity that comes from that. You know, from a technology perspective, post GFC, suddenly people were very interested in data analytics and having good dashboards and understanding how customers were buying and what they were buying and when they were buying, so that they could quickly pivot and, you know, move their businesses to react to more crises. We're already seeing spikes in in mining, in manufacturing. We're going to see almost most Western countries are going to want to see a decrease in the reliance on Chinese manufactured products. So manufacturing will be definitely sectors that will pick up in most Western Western countries. So there is always opportunity. So in terms of looking for jobs and finding careers, there's really a couple of things you need to do. One, you need to be always job ready. You need to have a great resume. You need to have a great cover letter. You need to have a good story. You need to understand your strengths and weaknesses and what your skill sets are and how they could potentially transfer to other industries. Two, you need to have a network. You need to be going through your black book of anyone you've ever worked with, ever spoken to, been friends with, you know, what have you, and really be talking to them about what are they hearing, who, you know, finding a job is your job. When you are job searching and really seeing who they know, who may be hiring and who could use someone with skill sets like yours. And then the final thing is that you have to be, just prepared to pivot and look for opportunities. And at the moment, I think one of the things that could come out of this pandemic, which will be absolutely sensational, is that we have realized that people can in fact work from home. And so do you need to hire people who live in the city in which you work? And the answer will be for a lot of functions, no. And so for people like my fellow guests around the table who are highly creative and have got lots of things to offer and teach and, learn from, you know, you're not just going to be stuck to, you know, your little pool in the town that you grew up in or the business community that you work in. It's really going to be a global environment now. So I think with every crisis comes opportunity. It's how you grasp it. It's as Adrian was saying earlier, it's the energy, it's the spirit that you bring, and it's really what you make of it. So I really think that, you know, not totally acknowledging that there are people who are doing it really, really tough now, but if you can take that energy and spirit and pour it into making sure that you're finding the right thing for you and looking up, looking forward, and perhaps looking more globally, then there will be opportunities.
I definitely believe that there will be opportunities, but I think I always say there's a blessing in every curse, but there's also a challenge. One of the things that I was reading in the article is that Facebook many of their employees are not going to return to the office. Now, they're in Palo Alto, California. For those who aren't familiar with Palo Alto, it's one of the more expensive areas to live in. So yeah, many of the employees, they may not live in Palo Alto, or they may decide to move out of California completely because they're now working virtually. There's no need for them to have that commute. So they're saying, okay, are they, as a company, Facebook as a company, going to adjust their salaries because they're literally being paid more because of the cost of living in Palo Alto? Now they no longer, I mean, is this a discussion you've seen with any of the companies that you work with?
Absolutely, that's definitely the case. So every CEO in the world right now has two key focuses. One is, how are you gonna make me more money? And two is, how can I reduce costs? Mm-hmm. So those are the focuses of pretty much every leader of every business, including, I'm sure, my fellow panel members today. You know, where can I make money? Where can I reduce costs? And so as an employee, I think if you're scared of losing your job, or you think your job is at risk, I'd be starting to have those conversations with your managers now about, you know, really understanding what your cost of living is, and potentially, you know, making offers on, you know, making sure that you can add as much value as you can to the organization that you work for. It may mean taking a small salary cut at the moment with a view to, you know, if I deliver X, Y, Z in the next 12 month period, can we attach bonuses to that, and so on. But having the flexibility to help your employer as much as you can to keep their costs down. And that includes salary. Wages are always one of the biggest costs in every business, right?
Yes, absolutely. The cost of human resources. That's why the company, you know, I always say, though, that sometimes that companies don't want to grow because of that. You know, I just took over my dad's plumbing company. He decided he wanted to retire. And now I'm a CEO of another company. But I've been saying, he's been here in California since 1985, but I've been telling him about expansion. You know, I think companies forget sometimes that they need to expand, and they want to be a solopreneur. They want to be that one man mom and pop shop for 80 years, when the whole key to business is to create employees, to create jobs, to bring them into the company. So I'm definitely interested. I want to go over to Adrian real quick and talk about, we talked about our creativity, we talked about jobs, but you've been speaking to people about themselves, about life, about what they're going through. What are you seeing during this global pandemic about how people have been able to stay motivated?
You know, what I'm seeing is a lot of individuals pouring into the positive thing, pouring into others, giving motivational tips, more inspirational. Everyone is more caring, of course, and taking care of the next person. We're seeing that more people are more concerned with taking care of their neighbor, taking care of the community, making sure everyone is okay. And so it's really great that even on Facebook, I've noticed that there's more inspiration, there's more reaching out to one another, even in a virtual setting, even in the, see that more giving and more caring, more sharing, more thinking about the next person. Pandemic, before COVID-19, a lot of people had the mindset, it's me and this field, but now it's more thinking about that next person and how's the next person going to make it? What can I do to help you to make it to the next step where you're trying to get to? That's what I've noticed.
I agree. And we talk about that quite often on the Roundtable Talk Show. You see the change, I think, in the world when you look at media, when you look at advertising. And pre-COVID, advertising was a real hard sell. Buy now, get here, you have to get this. It was more driven by cost. During the COVID-19, it was more driven by service. We are here to serve you. We are here to support you. It was a softer kind of message than what it has been in the past. Now, I have had such a great time on this show. We learned a lot. I'm going to Lisa's website. I'm going to meet everybody there to take my test. And then I'm going to screenshot it and post it everywhere so people already know the warning that I need chaos in order to be successful. But we are coming down to the last few minutes of the show. And what I love to do at the end of every show is just simply allow my guests the opportunity to speak directly to the audience, to everyone who is watching this show live, as well as everyone who's watching the archives, and simply let the audience know what you want them to take away from your appearance here today. And we're going to start with you, Jonathan.
Oh, pressure's on. I guess I would say, you know, to anyone who's trying to build a brand or an organization or any type of movement, or maybe even just writing a book or something, and trying to do so sustainably and impactfully, it's difficult. The way I kind of describe it is it's like you're taking the stairs, so you never get to do the elevator pitch, but you're still making your way to the top. So like, don't be discouraged if it's a longer journey, because it'll be a more fulfilling and a more impactful journey.
I like that. And just because you're taking the stairs doesn't mean you're alone on the stairs. You might have more people to pitch to than people in the elevator, because you're all stuck there together, but people come and go on the stairs. I like that. I like that a lot. See, y'all making me think on this Monday morning. Adrian, what do you have for us?
You know what? I was sitting here thinking about butterfly.org, and I wanted to share with everyone to look for from the Fierce Female Network is being born, butterfly.org. And butterfly.org is all about reaching out to Africa, for Africa, helping to rebuild Africa one person at a time through butterfly.org. When they purchase the butterflies that's handmade, a portion of the sales goes to rebuilding Africa one person and one family at a time.
Butterfly.org, definitely have to check it out. Anika?
I think the thing I'd like all your listeners to take away is that really you're in control of your life. You're in the driver's seat. If it is to be, it's up to me, is one of my favorite sayings. And if you want to get ahead in your career, you want to find a job, whatever it is that you're trying to achieve, it is 100% in your power to do that. So I encourage you all to reach out to the people around you. Don't be an island. Look for support. There's so many people who are experts in their field, like my fellow panelists today. And if you're struggling or you need help, don't be afraid to reach out and ask for it, because there are plenty of people who are willing to help and who can get you on the path you need to get on. So good luck.
Thank you. I know you're one of those people, because you mentioned two of my favorite expressions right there. No man's an island, and if it's meant to be, it's up to me. I live by that. I definitely live by that. So thank you for those words. Allison?
Well, I want to do give back during earlier in this roundtable. I talked about Jewels for Life coaching, how I went on that 6-week camping hiking experience. And so I wanted to give back to Julie Fox, because really, if I hadn't gotten on that program and experienced that hiking event, I wouldn't have been able to launch the business coaching. It's the username. I'm still working on getting it on all the social media platforms. But if people want to, since they're already on Facebook, to watch your show, they can go on to Facebook and do the @socialmediadigitalmaven. Is how to get in contact with me, and so I can take new people under my wing and guide them, you know, to find what their next business is. There's nothing in life that says you have to be a fireman or a doctor for life. You can be 8 different things. If it brings you streams of income and it pays your bills, then that is great, and no one else should have an opinion on that. And so and I'm still organizing homes because of the current heat status that we're going through in Southern California. I have eased back from garages, and now I'm inside where it's air conditioned, and I am focusing on kitchens and closets and kids' rooms and distant learning spaces and still mom caves. Just anywhere that's air conditioned and indoors is kind of where I'm focusing on. And you can find me through the organization Maven. Pretty much just type that into Google, and whatever platform of choice that you like to use, you will find me. So I just really enjoy being on the show, and all of our followers and watchers and friends and lurkers and everyone on the replay, just everyone, thank you.
You're so welcome. I love your example of the AC. Oh, that's my answer when people go, Sharifa, do you like camping? I'm like, yes, in hotels. Like, I love that. That's the extent of what I do. I need air conditioning. I need electricity. I need, you know, Wi-Fi. I need the basics in life. So, no, I will not be out in the woods, but I will love to camp in the Four Seasons. Lisa, what do you have for us?
Yeah, and so, y'all got some yucky animals in your wilderness. I wouldn't be camping outside there in America.
No, but look at Australia is known for the outback. So I don't know if I'm going camping out there.
With all the snakes and spiders that you could possibly want.
People come up missing in the outback. Like, I'll take my little raccoons here in Southern California. Sorry, Lisa, I got distracted. I saw a squirrel.
No, that's totally fine. Squirrel, that's a very chaotic thing to do, right?
You're going to prove your point.
I'm going to leave you guys with one last thought, and it's actually my favorite quote. It's from Judy Garland, and she says, "It's always better to be a first-rate version of yourself than a second-rate version of somebody else." And time and again, in my research for the books that I've been writing, for the talks that I do, when I'm working with clients, hands down, the number one way to success, to where you actually experience success, is to show up in the way that works for you. Even if it sounds crazy to somebody else, you do you. And I mean that with so much sincerity. We have to be ruthlessly honest with who we are and how we're wired for work. And until we are, we're always gonna feel like we're doing stuff that's draining us. You can be good at something and it can drain you. Just because you're good at it doesn't mean it's something that you're supposed to be doing. It just means you've had a lot of practice at it. I'm really good at filing. I know my ABCs really well, and I hate filing. I don't like to file. So I have somebody else do that because it drains me. So when we lean into our strengths and we do the things that are most congruent to how we're wired to show up in the world, that's when we get to experience success. And so I invite everyone to find that path for you. If that's going to my website and taking the quiz and finding out your creative type, great. If it's some other path, great. Do what works for you, because that's when you're going to feel the most successful.
I love it. And we just got to talking. I got distracted. You have two books that are out now, correct?
I do. The first one that I wrote is called The Secret Watch. And it is a parable about defining and achieving success on your own terms. And then the second book is called Creative Freedom, How to Own Your Dreams Without Selling Your Soul. It is a guide to personal and financial success as a creative entrepreneur.
I like that, without selling your soul. Because every time I try to live my dream, somebody wants me to sell my soul. And I'm not selling it to anyone, definitely not to Hollywood. I had a great time today, had a lot of fun, learned a lot. I'm definitely going to take that quiz. But I just want to thank you all for being a guest here today on the Roundtable Talk Show. I appreciate you. And I definitely appreciate everyone who tuned in to watch the show live. I appreciate you watching it. I appreciate you sharing it. But don't just watch the show. I need you to participate. I need you to support the show. I've added all of our guests' websites in the Facebook post. Please go to their websites. Check out our guests. Visit them on social media. And when you send them that message, when you send them that tweet, when you send them that inbox, when you send them that email, please let them know Sharifa Hardy says hi. And if you're interested in being a guest, please visit the website at asksharifa.com. Until tomorrow morning at 8 a.m. Pacific Standard Time, everyone have a safe and a blessed day. Bye now.